The message is, it was titled back then, What a Baby Gives Us. And this morning I changed it to What a Baby Brings. And what a baby brings. And so as I started thinking about it, what is it that a baby brings? When we think about a newborn baby, what are some things it brings? Joe, you know. What's that? No sleep. And Joe knows, as I think he's probably the resident member that has the youngest child here. Who else? Anybody else? What does a baby bring? It brings joy, absolutely. What else? Fear. Empty pockets. I remember telling everybody I could tell that you don't know what fear is until you have a child. You think you can know what fear is, but the minute you have a baby, you understand completely what fear is. You watch them start to walk. You start following behind them as they teeter. You swear they're going to hit their head on every sharp object there is, and you start experiencing fear. Anything else? Love, yes. Anything else? Hope. Yeah, hope. Yeah, and miracles, absolutely. Tolerance for crying, yes. Anything else? There you go.
Thank you.
That's right. Loudness, amen. That's what I always got to remember. And this gives me a point, and I didn't plan it like this, but it gives a point. When we have babies and stuff in the church, and they're loud, and they're crying, and they make noise, praise God for that, right? It could be the other way where we have no babies anymore. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. They distract me and I can't hear and I can't do that. I understand. I get it. But praise God still. Praise God that they're here because I thank God they are. Well, also, I thought of this. When I think of babies, I think of sleepless nights, fear, joy, love. But the one you didn't mention is a wide range of varying nasty smells. Whether whatever end it comes out of, you're going to smell some smells you've never smelt before. There's going to be times that you think, what and how does something this little make something smell that bad? And if you're like me, you change your diapers with your shirt over your nose. And then pretty soon the kids start copying you, and the whole time you're changing, both of you are covering your nose. So with that this morning, I just want to look at some things with the baby Jesus, what he brings, because he brings something totally different. He brings something that no baby, as cute as all the babies are, as precious as they are, there's some things that Jesus brings that they can't ever bring. And those are the things we're going to talk about. And let me set the stage in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Jesus is about a week old, and Joseph and Mary are going to bring him to the temple. And they're following according to Leviticus chapter 12. And that's why when it talks about in the scripture that they did according to the law, they were doing it laid out as was in Leviticus chapter 12. And if you read it, it kind of gives out what they were to do when a child was born. And the Jewish tradition and the laws were to bring the child to the temple to be circumcised 8 days old. The mother was to be past that time of purification to be cleansed. And then also, it was a time to bring a sacrifice offering. The scripture lays out that they were to bring a lamb under a year old or a year old lamb that was without blemish, without spot. It was to be presented to the priest to be sacrificed. But the scripture also in Leviticus, for those that couldn't afford it, was to be able to bring in two turtle doves or two pigeons in place of that lamb. So that's where we're at, where Jesus is a week old and he's coming into the temple. He's being presented to the priest. He's going to be, there's going to be a sacrifice. At least that's what Mary and Joseph are thinking. They're just following the traditions of the law. And they get so much more. They find out about this young Messiah that's in their arms that they're looking at. So let's go to the Father in prayer before we read Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for what you've done. We thank you for just everything, salvation. We thank you for this Christmas season, the time that we could celebrate the birth of our Messiah. Lord, I thank you for those that came out this morning, that came through the snow and the slippery roads and the cold to open up your word and to worship you. So God, I pray as we are reading your word and we are worshiping you, Lord, I pray that as you look down, it would be well with you. Lord, I pray that it would be a sweet smelling smell that would come up into heaven and be an awesome sacrifice to you. Lord, I pray that if I was to say something that was not your will, you would take it from me. And Lord, I pray for everyone's heart here today. Everyone's dealing with different things, Lord, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know. So God, I pray you'd meet those needs. Lord, I pray you'd show them exactly what you need to show them. But Lord, I pray for some that are spiritually hurting today. They don't know you as Lord and Savior, or maybe they've trusted in you years ago or made a decision but have walked away. So God, I pray that you'd restore them. I pray you'd draw them to you today. God, I pray that as we talk about what your son did for us, I pray that you would draw them in. I pray that their spirits would be challenged. I pray that the scales would fall off of the eyes of their soul to let them know that they need you as Lord and Savior. And that today would be that day of salvation. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus Christ's name, the only name that's recognized in heaven. Amen. Let me also say that tonight we'll be doing a baptism service as well. There were some that couldn't make it this morning but really wanted to be baptized. So we're going to be doing it at 7 o'clock in the gymnasium right after they finish up in here. And Awana has graciously allowed us to actually use it as a time to teach the kids in Awana about baptism. And there's at least one, with the possibility of three other adults that I'm putting some heat on about getting baptized tonight. And I'll be quite bold when it comes to baptism. I believe it's something you need to do. It's something that, you know, Christ did. He said to partake of the communion, and he also laid it out with baptism. He did it himself, and it's something he wants us to do, is to show that we're part. It's to show our obedience, that we're part of his team, that we've been born again. And so I push it a little bit when somebody says, well, you know, I don't really want to. I don't feel right getting in front of people. I'm scared of water. I understand. I'm not trying to be flippant on that. But I think this is that one area that you just need to overcome those fears, because then it builds that platform for God to use you more and more in other areas. Because that's just the beginning. I promise you, if you talk to somebody that's been saved for a number of years, they will tell you that God just takes you from one comfortable situation and puts you in what? Another uncomfortable situation, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, over and over and over again. He just continuously grows you. He doesn't keep you here. He expands because he needs to use us, because we need to be more like Christ, right? Christ did not have to be baptized, right? Did not have to. He did that for us. He did that for us to show the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's what that does. So I'm a little bit more upfront with that and pushing that, because, and I was sharing with someone this morning, that when I trusted in Christ, it was in my house, and my pastor said, I remember the first thing I said to him is, do I have to come in front of the church? Because he had you come in front of the church when you trusted in Christ. He'd bring you right up in front of the church, and he'd say, did you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and make you give a little bit of a testimony about it. And he looked at me and he said, yes, you do. And I said, but I really don't want to. And if he would have gave me the opportunity, I would not have, and I wouldn't be here today. It was the step that takes the next step to the next step to the next step, because I was deathly scared to be in front of people. I still don't like being in front of people. I'm scared right now. My stomach flip-flops. It gets queasy. And I didn't want to be in front of people. I don't want people's eyes on me. I didn't want to be there. But he said I needed to do it. And he said, if God made that transformation in your life and has done so much more for you, you should be able to stand up in front of people and tell them what you've done in front of the home crowd. And so I did. And that's the same thing with baptism. There's not one person in that room when you get baptized that's going to boo you. And if they did, they get drowned out by 100 to 200 more people cheering you on. Amen? So they're excited. You're in front of the home team. It's awesome. Baptism services are the best. So back to our sermon this morning, our message. So we're talking about the baby Jesus and what he brings. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. And it says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the customs of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And that's where we're ending. My mouth just got really dry, so I had to get a drink of water. But this is where we're talking this morning. We're talking about what does the baby bring? What does the baby beat Jesus bring? Well, if you listen to the song that Stephanie was singing, well, the first thing the baby brings is strength. Strength. Jesus brings the grit and gives strength and a promise. If you look at verse 29, it says, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." In this section of scripture, we have an elder in the temple who was believed to be a priest named Simeon, whose his name itself means one who sees and believes, one who hears and obeys, is what his name means. And the tradition says that he was one of seven. Now, I get this out of Matthew Henry, so it's a commentary, so it could all be speculation. But the tradition of the Jews say that he could be one of the seven rabbin, which is like the doctors of the priest. He was one of the men that founded the Sanhedrin. And they believe that he could be his father was one of the top guys in there, and that he was one that didn't go along with all the things that the priest believed. He believed that the consolation of Israel was coming, which is what it means that the Messiah was going to be born, that he was going to save Israel. And he was looking for that, and he had prophecy, and he would tell that he was coming. So they don't write a lot about him because he's kind of been dismissed, because in the Jewish laws and the Jewish beliefs, Jesus Christ isn't the Messiah. They're still waiting for their coming Messiah. But we know he is the Messiah that came for them. So here we have this man who has strength because he knows who is coming. He is trusting in God. And you look at verse 25, you see some things. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." So when you see that, it says just man. So when it says just, it means that he was good, he was fair to mankind. And then it says devout, it means he was good with God. He was sold out to God. He was there where he should be. He was dedicated to God. So God strengthened Simeon, made him so good that he was good towards man, and he was dedicated to God. And as I said, that waiting for consolation, it means that the Jewish elder and the priest were waiting for the Messiah to come to save Israel. And because he had God's strength, his eyes were wide open. His mind was ready for God to reveal his plan. I want to say it like this. When I picture this in my mind, anybody read the Bible? As you're reading the Bible, you kind of picture it in like a drama or a picture in your mind of what happens. I'm picturing this priest walking into the temple as Mary and Joseph are there with this baby, and him whistling, waiting for something to be revealed. It wasn't just that he stumbled upon it. He was searching daily for what was going to happen. There's others that believe he was between 110 to 114 years old, so he'd been waiting a very long time. Amen? And so here he is, he's waiting. And while other priests are carrying out the duties of sacrifices and doing the different things, he comes in and stumbles upon the Messiah. And what strength he showed by trusting in God and moving forward for God and doing his priestly duties, always waiting to see when the Messiah was coming. So this brings me to a verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Friends, Jesus is our strength. When he came to be born in a manger, he came and brought us a life full of strength. Are you with me this morning? We say amen when we agree with something or we shake our heads. I only heard Peter. Amen. There you go. Through his strength, we can face any situation. We can be filled with fear, and we can still function because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ. I didn't say you don't have fear. I'm saying we can be able to face through those fears to continue on because of the strength that he's given me. We all know Philippians 4:13. It says what? I can do all things through what? Christ, which strengtheneth me. You might be thinking, well, it's easy for you to say, and you have no idea what I'm going through, and you'd be right, but I'm going to tell you this. God's strength can demonstrate in us and should live in us that we can overcome what is put in our path. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Hold your spot here, but turn with me to 1 Peter 4. And if you have a cell phone, you can do exactly what I'm doing. I just put it right in my Bible to mark that spot and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And this is what God's strength lived out in our lives should look like. Because you could say, well, what is God's strength in the life of a Christian or a believer? What should it look like? Well, the Bible tells us what it should look like. When you're there, say, I'm there. Verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. I'm going to pause right there. Do you feel like all things are at end right now? I mean, when you look at the world scene, right? You look in Jerusalem, you look in Israel, you look at our president made a statement that many presidents have made before, but he actually put an anchor in the ground and said, this is it, and we're going to put an embassy, we're going to do this, that. Look at all the unrest. Look in your own lives, the different things that are going on. And you could say, yeah, this is not a real good time for me. Anybody struggling at Christmas this year? Is there anybody that'd be willing to raise your hand? Doesn't even mean financially, but just spiritually. Maybe there's problems in the family. I mean, Christmas can bring that out, right? That just the time where family might be bad memories. Well, this scripture fits us then, because he says, but at the end of all things is at hand. So he's saying that these times are at hand right now. It's bad right now. It's end times. He says this, but be ye therefore sober, alert, keep cool, and watch unto prayer. And in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent what? And what does charity mean? Love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality, one to another without what? Grumbling, complaining. So as we're looking at this, and as we're thinking of this, what does God's strength look like in a Christian? When things get tough, they keep on loving people. They keep inviting brothers and sisters into their fellowship without complaining and grumbling about it. That's this guy right here. Any of you just like to be by yourself sometimes? And listen, if you don't want to put your hand up, I'll be the one that takes it for all of us. You just want to be by yourself, right? And somebody, and maybe you're married to a sanguine like I am, and everything's a party, right? Let's just invite everybody over. And you're going, are you kidding me, right? But as things are falling apart around us, as we see the end times are here or at hand, we need to be loving in the scripture. And this is what I love about the King James, that the other ones leave out. It says fervent. You know what fervent means? It means on fire. Our love should be on fire for each other. We shouldn't be looking at the other person going, I'm on the other side of the church because I can't stand him. We got to make it right with God, right? We talked about our small group. If I'm mad at another believer and I'm talking bad about that believer, I'm talking bad about Christ. Continuing on with this. So using hospitality in verse 9. And in verse 10, and that every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We should be serving each other. God, quiet. I'll give you another opportunity to say amen. We should be serving each other. We should be loving each other to the point that it makes us want to complain if we don't like it, because we need to be hospitable and welcoming. I guarantee you, they didn't say nothing to me, I guarantee you it was a struggle to have 70-something people in their house this last night, the Bushes. I guarantee you they came across some roadblocks. I'm sure they dropped some boxes. I'm sure they had some hurt bones and backs and everything else. But they still made it happen, and they made it happen with a smile, and they did it because they love people. That's an example to the rest of us, like me, that don't want to be hospitable, right? But we need to be. We need to be serving each other. You say, well, I don't want to serve somebody. It doesn't matter. Our commandment is we're to serve each other, and we're to love each other. Continuing on, verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of one ability which God given, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to be serving each other because it's by the power of God, and it gives Him glory, and it shows a picture of what's supposed to happen. I don't know about you, but I get tired of reading about Christians fighting. or hear it about Christians fighting, or hear when I'm talking to somebody that needs to hear the gospel, they'll say, well, brothers, this brother so-and-so at that church don't like that so-and-so in that church. We need to make sure that we're not fighting like that. So there's strength in the name of the Lord. And we need to have that strength in this baby Jesus at Christmas time. When we think about Christmas, he brings us a strength. And I'm talking to you as Christians. We know he brings us a strength in salvation, but he brings you a strength to continue out through the life. Secondly, he brings us power. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Look at the rest of these verses. We read 25, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the power by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The Holy Spirit came upon him, what the scripture says. It actually says it three different times. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him, the Holy Spirit revealed unto him, and that he came by the Spirit. This man was walking with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what we need in this church? Men and women walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't going to walk with us if we're walking in sin. Did you hear me? We'll be there. We'll always have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't leave us. But he isn't going to be with us as we're in the sinful lifestyle. We're habitually sinning. He's going to stand afar because we walk away from him because that isn't what he can do. And so as Christians, we need to make sure that we are living for God. We need to be living with anticipation. That time is at hand, and we need to be loving and ministering to each other. So how do we have that power? He shows you he has that power by trusting in God and by walking. I believe that Simeon, if he was living, he was sold out for God. I believe that he was waiting for God's next move. And look at Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now to him who is able to carry out the purpose, and I've said it many times, I love the amplified version of this because it uses a word that I absolutely need to work into my vocabulary and purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare to ask and think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to who? His power that is at work within us. How you live as a believer can inspire others to do what God desires them to do. Do you realize as you sit right now, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you? That Holy Spirit that took a dead spirit, a dead man, transformed him, and brought new life. That's what lives inside of you. That's power. You are plugged into power. Well, sometimes we'll say, well, I don't feel like I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, where are you at? What are you doing? What are you allowing in your eye gates, your ear gates, your thought gate? Where are you at? Because you have that power inside of you. It's His power that's given to you at salvation. The Holy Ghost is alive in the heart of every believer and ready to transform people's lives of the people you rub elbows with. You know that you can make more of a difference in people's lives than I ever probably could of the people that you rub elbows with. But they need to hear about the power. They need to see it. They need to see that you believe what you believe. I've said it many times. I sat in churches all before salvation, and I used to say this, if that man doesn't believe what he's saying, there's no way I'm listening anymore. So now I make it a point when I preach with passion because I believe it with all my might that our God is the only answer to this world. And he gives us all the strength and all the power to prevail over everything. And that's what this baby does. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. You have the power inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit to build somebody else up. You have the power inside of you to see God work and save somebody else's soul. Look at the power that this man had inside of him. In verse 29, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy will. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew exactly what he was holding in his hand. Mary and Joseph, now remember, they'd been told by the shepherds, remember, and the wise men that came, They knew there was something special. And yet they handed off this man, and his face probably lit up. This old man probably smiled from ear to ear and said, "I am ready to die. It is complete. It is finished. I have seen my salvation." What power. What reverence. We need some men and women in our church like that. I need to be like that. I need to remember at this Christmas time, we have that power. We have that strength. We talk about Jesus Christ. He's inside of us. We have it right there to share with others. I believe that if we really get a hold of that, the power that the Holy Spirit places inside of us, and we live sold out, and we live as close to the Bible as we can, and we're trying to daily struggle through this, but with the Holy Spirit as our guide, we will shake the foundations of this earth and hell like never before. We say, where do you find it? Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. It's all right there when the church was founded, of how much they were making difference. The Bible says they were adding thousands daily to being saved. That's still available today. So, there's not only strength and power in this baby, but then the outcome of the strength in Christ, when we follow that strength and we follow the areas I laid out in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7, verse 7, it leads to the power. And then the power, the outcome of that strength, power put together is hope. We have hope. Verses 30 through 32. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon here preaches the good news of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Here is a Jewish priest. Get this in your mind. Here's a Jewish priest prophesying and giving the gospel out in a temple. What this baby gives and what he brings. We look at the precious faces of our babies that we see. They don't give a hope of salvation. They bring us joy. They bring us love. They bring us fear as we live. But they don't give us a hope of salvation. But this baby does. Let me give you some verses here that we all know. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. One thing we got to remember when we're talking to people is this world is already condemned. This world is already bankrupt. This world is condemned. Jesus just came to set us free. If Jesus never walked, we would all be headed right straight to hell. Eternity in hell. But he came and paved the way so that we could be free for eternity. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus not only lived pure, now he lived never sinned one time, and then he died, but he rose again. Are you with me this morning? Are you awake? Because there's people in here watching you. There's visitors and guests in here watching you. There's family members that are watching how you respond. I'm going to say it again. There is hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There, we're getting it. Amen? He didn't only die, but he rose again. Amen. And then we have this. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, and I use the ESV. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance. Hold up, did you get that? The scripture says that we rejoice in our sufferings. Well, how do we rejoice in our sufferings? We love other people fervently in the middle of our suffering. I am sold, beyond sold, that if you are in a bad situation right now, the best way to help yourself feel better spiritually is to do something for somebody else. Whether you got cancer today, whatever the situation is, do something for somebody else in the name of the Lord and for God's glory, and you will feel better. You will be encouraged. God will remember and he will take care of you. But I think what happens too much in my life is I start to suffer, and what do? I start saying, woe is me, and start feeling sorry for myself instead of serving somebody. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering what produces what? Endurance. Anybody train for races? Anybody lift weights? There's a lot of pain that's involved in that, right? But what does it do? It builds up endurance. So does suffering. It builds up your endurance. It builds your faith. And then it says, what is verse 4? It says, and endurance produces what? Character. Godly character, not character that we have. The man, old man. And that character produces what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has given was been given to us. By so when you read those passages together, we can clearly gain the understanding of hope. Hope begins when we are born again through Jesus Christ. Hope is developed and strengthened, and we can stand in God's grace. And then we have Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of our hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Simon blessed Mary and Joseph. I just started a whole new gospel, right? Whole new Christmas story. Mary and Joseph. Verse 13, he blessed them. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things, at those things which had spoken to them. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and risen again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, and that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You think about that. How many of you would love to bring your child to a child dedication and me to say all these wonderful things and then say, oh, and by the way, they're going to suffer. And they're going to be mistreated to the point of their own death. But don't you worry, it's going to be for somebody else's benefit. It's not going to be a very fun time, is it? But that was given to us, and it's called, and I like to call it, the hope. If you read the scripture and you look at it, you'll notice that he blesses, Simeon blesses a few things. He blesses the world, and he blesses both Joseph and Mary, but he never blesses the baby. And it's probably the only time you'll see that the baby's never been blessed. And why is that? Because that baby is the blessing. There is no dedication of that baby. There's no words to be spoken with, because that baby is the blessing for all of us. If you're a born-again believer, you have that hope. If you're not, you're going to need that hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. I want to share some scripture with you if you're not a believer, and then we will be done, because you need to know this. If you're not a believer, this is some of the verses that we have. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, so he's saying at that time you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having what? And with what? Without God in the world. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not put your faith in him as Lord and him alone, you have no hope. You don't have the hope. And that hope is eternity with God. First Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you've not trusted in him, if you've not surrendered your life to him, you are without the hope of eternity with God. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds. Because God says there's no good deeds. Anything that we do is nothing but filthy dung. The only deeds that God trusts in, God the Father, is what Jesus Christ did. He lived perfectly. He did what the Father said. He kept the law. He completed it. He died and rose again 3 days later for our substitution to stand in our place. to take a cross that you and I can't take, and to die a death that we can't die to get us into heaven. But it's up to you to trust in Him. So what does this baby bring? It brings strength, it brings power, it brings hope. And the only baby that does that is the baby Jesus. And He also brings us eternity. Maybe you're a believer here and you already have, and you've been living obedient to God. You have that strength and power. But do others see the hope that you have inside of you? And then there's some of you that don't know that hope of Jesus Christ. Would you be willing today to know it and surrender? And I want everybody to look here at me for just a few more minutes, and then we'll get to the baptisms. Because this is the important part, probably the most important part. That hope is Jesus Christ. And He is willing and able and desires that all of us have that hope. But you have to make that decision. God's done all the work of salvation. He paid the price. He did everything. And right now, the best part about it is He's telling you inside of your heart that this is true. And He's telling you that either you're His, you're not, or there's a possibility you're saying, I just don't know. But you can know today. You say, well, how do I know? Well, the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, as the Holy Spirit is drawing you, as I've lifted up the name of Jesus, because His cross was lifted up before all man, and that He is the only one to trust in for salvation, the Holy Spirit's drawing you right now. And so what you do inside your heart is you call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, I believe that You are what the Bible says You are. I believe that You died and rose again 3 days later. I believe that You're my substitution. I believe that I'm a sinner. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if you've done one sin, you're guilty of them all. And I just want to tell you, right now as I stand here, I'm still a sinner. You're still a sinner. None of us have been perfect. All that's happened is Jesus has taken His righteousness. The Father took the righteousness of Jesus, His perfection, His acceptance, and He's put it on top of me. I am taken care of. I've been paid for. I've been bought. I'm still a sinner. I'm still a sinner that deserves nothing more than hell. But because God's mercy, love, and kindness, He's given me His Son to be my substitution. And I tell you what, that's exciting. And you can have that too. But you have to believe it. You have to mean it. You have to know that it's the only way to the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And you have to surrender to it. And people say, well, that's just so easy. And I used to say, you're right, it is easy. But I say this. No, it's going to cost you your life. It's not going to cost you your physical. It might not cost you your physical life. But it's going to cost you your life as in where you go and who you serve. Because when Jesus pays for you, He doesn't just pay for you to say, okay, now continue in your lifestyle. The Scripture says that you are a new creature. He makes you brand new. That means you're going to go in a whole different direction that He has for you. And in my case, it was following Him into the ministry, which I never intended to do. If you'd told me at that time, I might not have did it, right? I don't know what that's going to do in your life, but it's going to take you somewhere different than where you are right now. And I want you to know that, because up front, He's going to take you in a whole different direction. Because He purchases you, He redeems you, which means now you're under new ownership. Jesus Christ owns you. Now, if you know all that up front and you still say, yes, I need that Lord and Savior, I want that Lord and Savior, then this is what I want to happen. I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you need Him as Lord and Savior and you're ready to make that stance right now in light of the things I've shared with you, inside your heart, I want you to say, Jesus, I surrender all. I'm calling upon Your name. I'm a sinner. I need You.